Hello and welcome to the Gilmore Ball Z bonus episodes, where because of your generous donations to the Gohan and Rory Fund, we watched two Dragon Ball Z movies. This was our Broly double feature, so we watched Broly Second Coming and Bio Broly. I'm Grant.
I'm Paige.
And, well, how do we want to, do you want to do Broly Second Coming or do you want to do Bio Broly?
Sure. I'll do Broly Second Coming.
Okay, Paige, what happened in Broly Second Coming?
For the first thing, I want to say nothing related to the Christian apocalypse.
No, it's just the second time Broly shows up and Second Coming is a cool phrase.
Apparently, Broly didn't blow up in the last movie. He got in an escape pod and crash-landed on Earth in an iceberg, where he has been sleeping all this time. Meanwhile, Goten, Trunks, and Videl are training by gathering the Dragon Balls to wish for stupid things. And there's like a little bit of like, oh, they're looking for the last Dragon Ball, but they're hungry, so they go to a village where a little girl is about to be sacrificed to a mountain god. She's cool with it. Her grandpa isn't cool with it, but she's like, Grandpa, I want to do this for my village. And this shaman thinks it's a good idea. For once, these people are all coded kind of Nordic. I would guess this is like Iceland or Finland or something. So at least it's not like a non-white race this time. Like,
I think the Nordic peninsula
can take it.
Yeah, good on them for not being like Polynesian stereotype sacrificing a virgin to the
or
volcano god.
South American, you know.
Yeah.
Or just like the usual stereotype you get of they are less like educated and they're savages, so they're black. Thankfully, we didn't get that one. These are white people. But it turns out that the monster that they're fighting is actually just a big dinosaur. So they put out snacks to tempt the dinosaur over. Videl won't let Goten eat the snacks. Goten starts crying. This sounds like it shouldn't be relevant to the plot, but oh, it is. Because if you'll remember, Broly was evil because he was annoyed by Goku crying as an infant when they were all babies. This is a real plot, Gilmore Girls fans. I'm not making this up.
Yeah, she's not even exaggerating. Broly flies into a horrible rage because he and Goku were in the same cribs next to each other in, like, the Saiyan neonatal unit.
Mm-hmm.
And so Goku crying all the time got on Broly's nerves. And so now Goku, just the name Kakarot in general, but also apparently somebody who sounds like Goku crying, apparently, like, is a trigger for Broly's PTSD-infused rage.
I don't even know if it's, you know, post-traumatic stress. It's just got a very specific trigger. And so Goten crying loudly because he can't eat an apple is enough to trigger Broly's wake-up. So they beat up this dinosaur very easily, but then Broly comes and he attacks everything. And the kids try to fight Broly and that doesn't work. Because he's Broly, they both have to pee real bad, so they pee. That needed to be included for some reason. Trunks pees on Broly because he's being attacked by Broly and just can't hold it anymore and pees on him. Pee was very big in both of these movies. They gather the last Dragon Ball from a, like, it was just in the chamber that Broly was in. Sort of. Like, I thought it was going to come up earlier in the movie when the shaman in town had a, like, necklace with an orange ball on it that Trunks wanted. But no, that was just a cool necklace Trunks wanted, apparently. The actual Dragon Ball was a few feet to the side. They find all the Dragon Balls. Goten tries to summon the dragon so he can wish Broly away, but he doesn't know the right words to say, and he can't summon Shenron. The Dragon Balls get very confusing from here on out. Gohan comes out of nowhere and sees that Videl is dying and Goten is dying and Trunks is dying because Broly is so strong. And he realizes that this mountain is actually a volcano and is like, oh, I know, lava. That's Broly's weakness. Apparently lava. So he tries to get Broly covered in lava and succeeds. The lava's bubbling up around Gohan, who's too exhausted to move, and so it looks like he's gonna die, and he's accepting death very peacefully. People aren't really worried by death in this movie. When we think it comes the time of the movie, even though Gohan's an adult, for Piccolo to save him, so we see Piccolo's silhouette come out of nowhere, grab him, pull him out. But it's Krillin wearing Piccolo's clothes. We don't know why he's here. He gives no explanation for why he decided to pop in at this corner of the world at this very minute. Piccolo, usually there's the excuse of he has very, very, very good hearing. Krillin just came here in Piccolo's clothes.
Yeah, see, like, Krillin being there doesn't require, whatever. Krillin sensed huge power levels colliding, figured he could help, came by to help, found Gohan unconscious, rescued him. Sure, whatever. What makes absolutely zero sense, and the movie gives you no explanation for, is why he's dressed like Piccolo.
Yeah. So, of course, lava isn't enough to kill Broly. He pops out with a shield. He's totally fine. So, Gohan and Goten try to, like, launch a brother Kamehameha. And this isn't quite enough. Meanwhile, off somewhere in the distance, all the Dragon Balls clink together and glow like Shenron is being summoned, but you never see Shenron. Then Goten says, "I wish Dad was here," at the same time, and suddenly they hear the voice of Goku helping them and encouraging them and launching off his own Kamehameha, and this is the best visual in the movie. Like, the movie itself actually isn't that ugly. It's kind of a pretty movie, but the best visual is Gohan, Goten, and Goku launching off a father-son's Kamehameha. And this is enough to kill Broly. Finally, he's dead. Everything's great. Except then the narration is like, "Was that really Goku or was it an illusion? We'll never know." It's like, well, the Dragon Balls lit up and then Goku's voice started appearing. And he, like, added physical power there. And then the Dragon Balls all dissipated as if they'd granted a wish, because that's what they do. They usually stay in the same place unless they've just granted a wish, and then they go all over the world. So it does seem like Goku was there. He just disappeared after the Kamehameha, I guess. So that was something that made no sense, but at least it ended this movie. And that was Broly the Second Coming.
Yeah, that was basically it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the longer of the two.
Yup.
A lot of it was not much happening.
What happened in Bio Broly?
Okay, so Bio Broly we pick up in a nondescript amount of time after Broly Second Coming.
And the kids are still the same age.
Yeah, whatever. And Goku's still dead, so, you know. But it is after the World Martial Arts Tournament, so it actually makes no sense. Whatever. Like many Dragon Ball movies, this one you cannot easily fit into the timeline because it makes no sense. But anyway, we open on, we open on a bunch of people we've never met before who are all weird scientist-y type people talking about how they finally finished their greatest creation of the biohumans.
Good job, guys. And these, we're so proud of you.
Yeah, these like weird, naked, buff, eunuch goop monsters come out of a bunch of tanks.
Well, they're not really that goopy.
They have goopy skin.
I guess, sort of.
They've got, like, oozy texture on
their
skin.
Compared to later goop, it's the lesser of two goops.
Yeah, but there's definitely a goopy theme in this movie. But the plot really kicks off where we open with probably the best scene in the movie, and one of the best scenes in any of the movies, of Android 18 rolling up on Mr. Satan's house, breaking all his shit, and saying, "Bitch, better have my money."
So good.
It's great. She's just, like, trashing shit. Like, "You haven't paid me for when I took a dive during the martial arts tournament, so I'm gonna break all your stuff until you give me my fucking money." It's great.
And she's not even, like, going that hard to break it, because this is 18. She's gonna do as little as possible. She's just kind of throwing, a screen, like, "I'm gonna break stuff."
Yeah, she's just roughing him up a little bit, trying to get her money, which, like, girl, get that paper.
Get that paper.
So Krillin and Marin are waiting outside, and Goten and Trunks are just there for some reason, spying on them.
Yeah.
It's really unclear why Goten and Trunks are there, but they're spying on Mr. Satan and 18's little altercation.
Maybe Gohan and Videl were on a date and they had nothing to do.
They had
so
nothing
they were
better
at
to do than to
house.
Follow 18 and Krillin around.
Yeah.
So this guy shows up. He's a henchman named Menmen. And he's like, "Hello, Mr. Satan. I'm here to expose you as a fraud with this formal challenge from your greatest nemesis."
See, you say that like it was a scene that made sense. It was really more like, "Hey, Mr. Satan, remember that time you peed at summer camp?" That's how he opens the scene.
Yeah.
"Remember when you were 12 and peed at summer camp?" Like I said, pee is very important in these movies.
Yeah, apparently Mr. Satan used to have a rival named Lord Jaguar.
But it's mostly just called Jaguar, like that's a name for, you know, a standard person.
Yeah.
No offense to the Jaguars in our audience.
So Mr. Satan was rivals and friends with a guy named Jaguar until they were 12 years old, and they fought possibly in, like, the junior division of the martial arts tournament?
Maybe.
Maybe, it was unclear.
Or just had a fight at their summer camp?
Or
really
something.
Really unclear.
And Mr.
Not,
Satan...
Also not clear if their summer camp was for rich people or buff people.
It's true. Or rich buff people.
Possible.
And Mr. Satan beat Jaguar. And
yeah.
From that point on, Jaguar decided he was never going to be the world's strongest fighter and committed himself to, I guess, being rich and investing in science stuff.
Yeah.
So he sent this henchman, who is also his cousin.
Nepotism at work.
Sure. To issue a formal challenge to Mr. Satan to prove that, you know, he's actually a fraud and Jaguar is superior. And the blackmail with that is, if you don't show up for my formal challenge on my private island, then I'll tell the whole world that you peed your pants at summer camp when we were 12 years old.
We're not even exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah, like, it's not even like he finds out that he paid 18 to throw the fight and blackmails him with, "Hey, I'll tell the world you're a fraud," and actually paid your opponent to throw the fight.
Which would be decent blackmail.
That'd be very decent blackmail. No, it's just, or even, you know, "I somehow found out about what really happened with Cell, and so I'll tell the world that you didn't actually defeat Cell." Which,
no.
The scientists here seem to know about Super Saiyan somehow, so like...
Yeah, like at some point, Jaguar does say, "Oh, he's my Super Saiyan warrior," and they never explain how these people know about Super Saiyans.
Yeah. But anyway, maybe they found out the same place of that guy in one crowd shot wearing a t-shirt that said Super Saiyan on it. Found out. He's like, "Fine, I'll go and do the thing." And 18's like, "I'm coming with you because you're trying to weasel your way out of paying me, so I'm coming with you." And Mr. Satan's like, "Okay, but then the cover is that you're my disciple, all right?" And she's like, "Fine, whatever, just pay me." And at first Krillin's like, "Oh, I want to go, 18. But she's like, "No, you take the kid and you go stay at Roshi's. It could be dangerous. I'll take care of this." So 18, Mr. Satan, and this henchman go to Jaguar's, like, fucking Shang Tsung private island to fight the Bio Warriors. And Goten and Trunks overhear this whole conversation. Like, "Ooh, that sounds like fun." So they sneak in, and they hide in the trunk and sneak in. So all of them end up on the island. Lord Jaguar's like, "Oh, you will fight my Bio Warriors and their weird, super buff science experiments." And Mr. Satan's like, "Oh shit, these guys actually seem legit. I don't know if I can beat them. Hey, 18, why doesn't my disciple fight them?" So,
for 20 million more zenny.
Yeah, yeah. In this whole movie, 18's just squeezing more money out of Mr. Satan every time he asks anything of her. So, blah, blah, you know, 18 and Goten and Trunks all jump in and beat up these Bio Warriors like they're nothing. But they notice that Jaguar has two henchmen. He has this Menmen guy who's his cousin, but also he has Maloja, who was the weird shaman that was sacrificing children to a dinosaur in the last movie. And they're like, "Hey, that's the guy."
Continuity.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised there was that much continuity. So then they were like, "Hey, that's that guy from before. What's up with that?" And so they go, they beat up all the Bio Warriors. And so Jaguar is like, "Oh, now you'll fight my secret weapon." And he leads them down into his secret laboratory where they're growing tons of these Bio Warriors in tanks, right? And Goten and Trunks spot one that has a tail, and they're like, wait, that one's got a tail. Is it a Saiyan? And they go and check it out, and it's Broly. Broly's floating in this tank. I forget exactly how it all... what order.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I forget exactly what order everything comes out in, but basically they interrogate Maloja, this shaman, and they're like, hey, what the hell? And he's like, we killed Broly, why is he here? And he's like, yeah, you killed Broly.
But I got his essence.
Yeah, which is the weirdest fucking way to say it. He's like, I, you know, after you took out the mountain god, the whole village shunned me as a charlatan, and I couldn't find work.
What, just because you were murdering children?
Right. He's like, I was desperate and I didn't know what to do. So he went back to Broly's pod, which was somehow covered in Broly's dried blood. And he
I think it was supposed to be from the fight, but it was in his pod. It was not logical.
And he got...
maybe from when he was first injured and put in the pod?
Maybe, but either way, he got some of Broly's blood, or as he calls it, his essence. And he brought it to Jaguar. Somehow he knew about Jaguar.
Yeah, that's not explained.
That's not explained. Somehow he knew Jaguar. Somehow he understands the concept of biohumans, despite seeming to come from a relatively primitive village. And somehow he knows what a legendary Super Saiyan is, because he's like, and so now he has his own personal super soldier of Broly, the legendary Super Saiyan. Like, how do you know what that is?
How do you know this guy's name?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody, like, people said it, but he wasn't near them at the time.
Yeah, so now there's a Broly in a tank. Some stuff happens.
The kids actually try to destroy it.
That's what it is. Yeah, the kids are like, okay, if Broly wakes up, we're screwed. Like,
which makes them smarter than their parents.
Yeah, it's like...
because they did not take that tact with the androids.
Yeah, it's like, hey, if Broly wakes up, we're screwed. Like, he was able to punk us and Gohan and Videl all at once. And it took intervention from Goku literally coming back from the dead to take him out last time. So if he gets released in here when it's just us, 18, and Mr. Satan, we're screwed. So... we need to take him out before he wakes up. And so, in a delightful we don't actually care about canon thing, Trunks and Goten both do a Kamehameha and try to blow up the tank, but they're not able to blow up the tank. Like, they blow it up, but they can't kill Broly. And so Broly breaks out of the tank, and then, like, the, like, weird back-to-tank stuff that he was floating in, I guess, hardens into a weird goo?
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. And so we get...
because, like, when he's in the tank, he looks like a human being, but when he comes out...
yeah, he's looks... like, Clayface.
The Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
The Man Thing.
Yeah.
Just pick your, you know, like, person covered with kelp, that's what it looks like.
Pick your goopy comic book character. And so it's this weird, big, goopy green, he does kind of look like Swamp Thing.
With some hair sticking
out.
But
with some of the spiky Super Saiyan, yeah, it's so dumb. And then he has, like, this weird, exposed red stuff on his chest that you think is supposed to be, like, a weak point, but it's not.
No, it's just a glowy thing.
Yeah, so he breaks out of the tank. Similarly, a bunch of, like, the culture fluid they use breaks out of the big ruptured tank.
And it's acidic?
Yeah, it's like, it's not like a, they say it's acidic, but it's not acidic. It's like,
no.
It's supposed
intelligent?
To, yeah, it's supposed to be like, you know, a disaster movie thing where if it touches any cellular matter it touches gets broken down and assimilated into the gloop, right? It's like, they were going for like an old school sci-fi horror movie, oh no, the blob. Deal. Sort of, and it kind of worked, but it mostly didn't. So, like,
no.
It's a boss fight with a stage hazard, right? Bio Broly is running around beating the shit out of all of them, while also there's this big tidal waves of purple goo washing over the arena, and if it touches you, you die, right?
Yeah. The shaman is trying to steal money in the chaos and probably dies.
He definitely gets eaten by the goop, right? And all the scientists are running around like, oh god, we have to get away from the goop, oh god! And, you know, most of them escape, but some of them don't, and whatever. All while 18 tries to fight Bio Broly, Goten and Trunks try to fight Bio Broly, and they get punked, right? Like, they hold their own pretty well, but they're completely overwhelmed. They're getting their asses kicked. At one point, Krillin shows up. Like, Krillin saves 18's life at the last minute, and
Krillin is good pretty much just for getting people out of the way at this point.
But, you know, he serves his role, right? He rescues 18, and so then, like, and he does, like, a destructo disc and cuts off Bio Broly's head, but just, like, glorps right back on, because he's a goop monster now. So, whatever, they run around, they fight. Eventually, Trunks has a bright idea, and he provokes Broly, he gets the aggro onto himself, and then he blows up a tank full of this gloop right above Broly's head, and it falls on him. And so Broly gets eaten by the gloop. And it's like, okay, cool. Broly got eaten by the gloop. Now we need to get out of here. So they're running around rescuing everybody they can, getting everybody out. There's a really funny moment where one of, like, the head scientist's, like, right hand is a pretty lady. There's a pretty lady scientist who does pretty lady science stuff. And so they're getting everybody out. And Krillin is carrying her out, so she's, like, over his shoulders. And he's like, all right, hold on tight, we're gonna go, whatever. And she's like, oh, thank you for saving me. And she, like, hugs him really tight while he's getting ready to carry her out. And you see he, like, kind of smiles and blushes, and then 18 just like, out, and just pushes both of them out the window.
Yeah.
It was good. It walked the line well of Krillin being like, okay, I'm married, but I'm not dead. Without him being pervy.
Yeah.
Which, I don't usually trust Dragon Ball to walk that line.
Yeah.
But it handled it perfectly, of like, yeah, okay, Krillin's married and he loves his wife. That doesn't mean he's not gonna notice, you know, a pretty lady hugging him.
Yeah.
It was sweet. It was a sweet little character moment. And anyway, so this like, goop is continuing to roll over the island. And the scientists explain, like, yeah, when it absorbs something, it also absorbs its power. So when it absorbed Broly, now, basically, the giant blob is Broly, and it's gonna just roll over the entire damn planet. Like, we're doomed. It's unstoppable now. But Mr. Satan is, like, frantically swimming away from this wave of gloop, and trying to escape, and he splashes it with some water, and little bits of it harden. And Goten notices, and is like, wait, seawater makes it turn to stone. Sure, why not?
It's an unstable chemical compound that reacts to the saline in the salt water.
Sure. And so
that's more thought than they put into it.
You can see that, like, as it's kind of going in waves throughout the ocean as it's turning to stone, and then part of it's rolling over the stone bits, right? And so, like, okay, we can stop it here. We just need a really big tidal wave. So Goten and Trunks and Krillin all charge up. Again, we get an ending with three Kamehamehas. All charge up really big Kamehamehas and fire them into the ocean all at the same time and create a huge tidal wave that washes over the entire island and just freezes all of the gloop. We have a last oh my god shot, fake out shot, where a giant goo Broly comes out of the ocean.
Couple fake out shots of giant goo Broly.
Yeah, but the big last one is this giant Bio Broly comes out of the ocean and then turns to stone. And so Goten and Trunks just like shatter the statue and it collapses. And they're like, yay, the day is saved, and piles all of them onto Capsule Corp cruise liners and sends them off somewhere safe. So the movie ends with we cut to Goku in Otherworld. We've not seen him all movie, but we cut to Goku in Otherworld.
It's in his contract.
And he's like, what's that, Bubbles? And Bubbles is like, meow, 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 meow. I was like, Broly is causing trouble in hell, and so King Kai wants me and PyCon to go stop him? Meow, 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 meow. Oh, well, guess I better finish my food first. And then credits roll.
Yeah, so they're definitely teasing a fourth movie that never happened.
Yeah, like that.
Where Goku fights Broly in hell.
Well, the funny thing is, the next movie after this one was Fusion Reborn.
Yeah.
Where there's trouble in hell and Goku has to stop it.
Yep.
And yet, even when a ton of other movie villains made cameos in that movie, Broly doesn't appear in that movie.
Yep.
But I'm on the Dragon Ball wiki because I wanted to see if there was any actual information about a planned fourth Broly movie, and I don't see one. But an interesting thing, in the Japanese, Broly's voice actor does reappear in Bio Broly.
Huh.
Or in Fusion Reborn, yeah. Rather. Broly's Japanese voice actor in Fusion Reborn voiced Hitler.
Hmm. Well, somebody has to, I suppose.
I suppose.
I mean, not really, but they decided to have Hitler, and he has a voice, so, you know.
Yeah. So, that's what happened on Bio Broly.
Yeah.
Paige, what did you think of these movies?
You know, I would still rewatch either of these movies again before I watch Super Android 13.
You know, I think I agree, actually. Bio, like, Second Coming and Bio Broly both get held up a lot as, like, the worst of the worst of Dragon Ball Z content.
And they are bad.
They're not fun.
I wouldn't go to see this intentionally.
But, yeah, I think Super Android 13 was worse.
I think that, like...
And I think Wrath of the Dragon was worse, too.
Well, and the thing is that, like, these... Like, for one thing, we got... You know, we got prepped for it. Because even though some people would be like, oh man, I love Dragon Ball movie. And then I'll watch it and I'll be like, really? That was the one you told me to get my hopes up for? This one, everyone was like, this is terrible. And I was like, okay, this is gonna be terrible. But I think the other thing is, even though they hit some of my least favorite things about Dragon Ball movies, they were nonsensical. You know, they had fights that were obviously pointless. And even in both of these, we had strong women who don't do much of anything. I mean, 18 was much better, but Videl...
Yeah, 18 did more, but Videl was basically worthless in that movie.
Yeah, Videl couldn't even fight a dinosaur, which she should be able to handle. She was still freaking out the entire time and backing away while the kids were like, yeah, let's punch him in the nose.
Also spends most of the movie in a weird impractical dress for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty.
Yeah, but it didn't make much sense.
No. I mean, I'm like, if they gave me Videl fighting, like, crime in a dress, I don't think it's logical, but I would still be for it because it's pretty.
Oh, yeah.
But even though it hit all those themes, they were just... either I'm numb to it, or I was ready for it, or it just wasn't as bad, where it just kind of washes over you, because I think the problem with the Broly movies is that, at least these two, is they're just so forgettable. Oh, and the other thing that I hate that it was is, like, having Trunks and Goten as the main characters.
Although, Trunks and Goten weren't as grating in these as they are in some parts of the Buu saga.
Absolutely not. They still weren't my favorite. I would have still much rather have had a Gohan movie. Like, a Gohan and Videl movie would have been fun. But, and, like, there was, as I said, way too much discussion of who had to pee at any given moment in both movies. I think Trunks peed in the second movie. I think they were just so bland that they were non-threatening, and I was kind of grateful that for once I had a movie that didn't end up with Goku saving the day.
Yeah, yeah.
He did in Second Coming, he didn't in Bio Broly, and that was kind of a nice change of pace.
Yeah, I liked in Bio Broly that the victory came from outsmarting instead of outpunching. That doesn't happen super often.
Yeah, and twice and outsmarting. The goo and the salt water.
Yeah. And, yeah, like, I liked that, like, especially in Bio Broly, Goten and Trunks felt more like fleshed out characters than in a lot of the Buu saga. They kind of just feel like, oh, hey, they're kids, you know?
Yeah.
But in this, they felt more, like, better fleshed out characters, and I like that Trunks was actually kind of smart in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bit where Goten's like, Trunks, what's a bio-warrior? And he's like, well, Goten, it's a warrior who's created with bioengineering. Well, what's bioengineering? Or biotechnology. Like, oh, what's biotechnology? Well, you know, it was, like, genetic engineering and stuff. And he's like, oh, what's genetic engineering? Like, biotechnology. So, like, Trunks was believably a pretty smart kid, but not, like, a boy genius.
And who had heard, like, I mean, his mom probably explains this to him more than most kids get.
Yeah, you'd believe that Trunks is Bulma's son in those scenes because, okay, he doesn't quite grasp all of that.
He's not as smart as Bulma.
No, he takes more after his dad, but he at least kind of gets it. Enough to sort of grasp what's being talked about, at least to remember the big words and understand how they go together, even if he's not going to explain to you how genetic engineering works because he doesn't know because he's like seven.
Yeah, I was annoyed by, like, the things I think that it fell down on is just the number of fakeouts with Big Broly at the end, because the fact that Big Purple Broly reared up twice and then they were like, well, we don't have any time, he's just gonna fall down now, twice.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, cool, why did he even come back?
Yeah, when it would have been just as easy for, like, the tidal wave to turn into a giant Broly that was, like, you know, Pacific Rim kaiju wading through the water.
Which they already and then they drew. Had to... Like, it's not like yeah, they didn't, you know, like, I understand if animators can't have the time for that, but they drew that.
Yeah, and then just have them do the big, quite literal Kamehameha wave.
Yeah.
To stone, to petrify the big Broly. Like, that would work.
That would
That'd
be cool.
Fine. That'd be cool. That'd be a cool way to end it. Honestly, my problems are more with Second Coming than with Bio Broly, which is weird, because Bio Broly is the one that really gets held up as being really bad.
I mean, I think really my problems are with Broly, period.
Well, yeah, but Broly Second Coming, there was the least there.
Yeah.
The plot of that movie was just Broly shows up, and then they fight him, and then they beat him.
Well,
that's it.
Like, there was a Dragon Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Where suddenly, maybe the Dragon Balls work in a completely different way than they've ever worked before, but we're not gonna say they necessarily did. Maybe it was an illusion. We'll never tell you. Like, what was... There were so many things, actually, in that movie that were like, look, we're playing with the tropes of them and then subverting your expectations in a way where we think we're clever. Where it's like, oh, we subvert it because he accidentally uses the Dragon Balls and you've never seen that before, but we re-subvert it because what if he didn't? We subvert your expectations because this is a Dragon Ball movie and Gohan's going to get saved by Piccolo, but no, it was Krillin. And they were out-clevering themselves for no reason.
Yeah, the Krillin bit really made no sense. It's just so weird because, like, Broly goes on this Kakarot rampage when... Like, there's no reason for him to be angry at anyone nearby except that Gohan and Goten look like Goku.
Yeah, no, he just woke up grumpy and that's the beginning and end of it. And he's gonna destroy the world, I guess.
Yeah, there's no reason for this. Like, Bio Broly, it's still silly, but at least there's, like, a motive of, like, oh, well, at first it's because he's been genetically engineered to fight and, like, be answer to Jaguar, but... Eventually, it is just that he's, you know, a goop monster full of rage. Like,
well, except the one problem with that is that even though he came back from the cells of a blood cell, apparently the blood cells are imprinted with hatred for Kakarot because he had the same memories of Kakarot. And maybe that's what he meant by it being his essence. It's like his memories are somehow implanted in his blood, which makes zero sense.
Yeah, I don't think he does have one bit where he shouts Kakarot, which doesn't make any sense.
And it shows his memories.
Did they show his memories in Bio Broly?
I think so. But he definitely says Kakarot, and he definitely, like, you know, like, he has memories of it.
Like...
And it's stupid to bring up in that movie, because Kakarot isn't even there.
Yeah, well, the thing that really frustrates me the most, you know who's most frustratingly absent from both of these movies?
Vegeta.
Like, Broly's set up as this, you know, nemesis to Goku because of the dumb baby thing. But Broly, I think, is actually the most interesting of a character. I mean, in contrast to Goku, but in contrast to both Goku and Vegeta.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the thing that made the first Broly movie kind of interesting was that there was the whole new Vegeta element to it.
Yeah.
That... You know, they wanted to make Vegeta King of the Saiyans, and, the legendary Super Saiyan Broly is this, you know, horrifying legend that made Vegeta think all was lost for a bit there. Like, and especially Bio Broly, if Vegeta were to find out that there was somebody growing Saiyan warriors in a lab,
mm-hmm.
he would be furious.
Well, and even beyond that, like, Goku and Vegeta and Broly together give a more concrete idea of what a Saiyan is and what each of them isn't by letting them contrast with each other. Not just, like, it's not just, how is Goku not like Vegeta, how is Goku like Vegeta, and what does that mean about being a Saiyan? By having three people, you have more of a contrast, and you can get kind of a more nuanced view of each individual person and what their species means as a whole. But all that gets stripped off.
Yeah.
And they didn't make good use of it in the first Broly, to be clear.
No, but still, like, I think Second Coming is more frustrating to me of the two, because Bio Broly at least has the thing that some Dragon Ball movies have, where there's at least some interesting ideas at play, even if they're badly executed.
Yeah.
Like,
but
I wish they had played with the idea of this not being the same Broly, because it's not the same Broly. It's a clone of Broly that was grown from his blood cells.
But also, why does it have to be Broly at all?
It doesn't have to be Broly at all.
Like,
but
there was no impact on this movie for it being Broly. Because, I mean, it could be a clone of Broly, and then they just have the shortcut to, I guess he's powerful because he's Broly. But, like, there was no reason plot-wise that it was more impactful because this was Broly.
No, the reason plot-wise is because Broly is this unstoppable legendary Super Saiyan, so that is something you can clone that then we can reasonably believe Goten and Trunks and 18 would be powerless against, because Broly's like the Hulk, he's just unstoppable.
Right, but would this movie have been any different if they had cloned Cell?
Probably not. But I think the fact that they cloned a Saiyan is important, though.
It is, but they don't use it, so it isn't.
They don't, but like, we're not judging this by the rubric of a normal movie. We're judging this by the rubric of a Dragon Ball Z movie.
See, I refuse to do that, though. This is he's a buff lamp.
He's a buff lamp.
Like, you could interchange any reasonably buff guy in Dragon Ball. If they got evil Goku, that would work. Evil Vegeta would work here. Evil Cell would work here. If you regrew Frieza, it would work here. If you put in Android 13, it would work here. If you put in, who was it in Fusion Reborn that we only saw?
Janemba.
Janemba. If it was evil PyCon, it wouldn't matter. These are all characters that I'm listing off that, like, 90% of you won't remember, and that's fine, because they're all interchangeable in this case.
Yes. But the way that I cope is imagining what a more competent version of this movie could have been.
No, that just makes me sadder.
And a clone of... No, roll with me here. A clone of Broly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Would actually be really interesting, because it would bring in a lot of questions about what it means to be a Saiyan, right?
Right. Is it, you know, being raised in the culture? No, because we've got Goku. Is it being born in the culture? Maybe, but we've got Gohan. Like, is it being a birthed member of the culture? Maybe, you know?
Right. And it would be an... It would be interesting. There's interesting things you could do with a clone of Broly that has all of his power, but none of his trauma.
Yeah, but if you want that, you can just go to the store and say, hey, please give me a copy of the movie Logan, and then you'll go home happier, I promise.
It's true. So the thing that almost frustrates me the most in this movie, though, is that there is absolutely no discussion of this being a discrete entity from the Broly before.
Yeah.
It seems to be like, oh, and through technology, we revived Broly. Like, we regrew him from a blood stain, I guess? Because it is, like you said, he says Kakarot, he has the same memories, he remembers the kids. He seems to be the same Broly, which doesn't make any sense.
No.
And then when Goku is like, oh, Broly's causing trouble in hell.
Which one?
Yeah, so that implies that Broly only just got to hell. So was Broly, like, in hell for however long it took to grow Bio Broly, and then as soon as Bio Broly was born, Broly's spirit returned to his body? Like, there should be two Brolys.
Well, and I'm going to even say in Broly's Second Coming, it didn't need to be Broly either.
Oh, Broly's Second Coming just straight up didn't need to happen. Like,
I mean,
there's
other
nothing
than the fact it didn't need to happen, agreed. But in addition to that, it doesn't, like, there is nothing gained by it being Broly.
In fact, it being Broly detracts from the movie, because it becomes a movie where, a dude is screaming Kakarot the entire time, even though there's no Kakarot here.
No. Except yeah, like, maybe honestly, at the end. And he doesn't even notice.
Yeah, like, there is nothing interesting to discuss about Second Coming. There's a reason I've been only talking about Bio Broly. There's literally just nothing worth discussing in Second Coming. It is a non-entity of a film.
I don't know if I'd quite say that, but all the things worth discussing is, why is this so stupid?
Yeah, like, it's all just, that was dumb. There's nothing of substance to discuss in Second Coming. Bio Broly is still a disappointing, not good movie, but it is disappointing in ways that are interesting, because it's disappointing because it leaves interesting concepts on the table and does nothing with them. So there's at least something to discuss.
I have one thing that but I was just confused and disturbed by it.
Okay.
So Dragon Ball doesn't shy away from genitalia.
No.
I mean, it keeps it kid-friendly, but it's a little less nervous about showing naked butts and, on a few occasions, baby penises.
Yes.
It's not sexualized, it's just a baby penis. It pees out of it. But we saw a full frontal nude shot of Bio Broly, and he was like a Ken doll.
I don't think we saw... Did we see Bio Broly full frontal? We saw one of the other Bio
Warriors
full frontal.
Okay, I thought we saw Bio Broly full frontal.
No, I think...
Okay, that was a different Bio Roller.
I think so. I know we saw a different Bio Warrior full frontal. And, I mean, if you're growing them in a lab to just be super soldiers, then why do they need genitalia?
I mean, presumably they need liquid at some point, and they will dissipate that liquid.
They ooze it out. They're oozy. They're goop.
Oh, that's not better. He oozes out pee all the time?
I guess. I don't know.
But, I mean, that just raises the deeper questions that have nothing to do with genitalia of they've, like, perfected a process for a Bio Warrior. And then they have a completely different process, and the first time they try it out is on a legendary Super Saiyan? Why even grow the Bio Warriors? Just focus in on growing a Super Saiyan.
Yeah, like, I feel like it would have been more interesting if it was, oh, they got some of Broly's blood, so they were able to clone Broly and then use him as, like...
a template?
Yeah, or even just ditch the whole dried blood thing, whatever. They somehow recovered Broly's corpse and were able to, like, you know, to a certain extent resuscitate him Mass Effect 2 style, and are using his body as a template to clone an army of part Saiyan super warriors.
Great.
Like, yes, that's basically just Cell all over again, but in an interesting and different way.
Well, there wasn't an army with Cell. I mean, he had a couple of little Cell guys, but not really.
Yeah. So, like, that would be more interesting. I was waiting for it to be like, oh, wait, these Bio Warriors, like, are really, really strong because they're part Saiyan. Like, I was waiting for that, and it was like, no, they're just boring-ass super soldiers.
They're putties.
Yeah, like, they're just putties. Like, oh, I was waiting for them all to be, like, Saiyans.
Please call the citizens of Angel Grove and have the Power Rangers fight this problem.
Right?
And then, like, partway through the movie, they make the monster grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this really was just a Power Rangers movie.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a really long episode of Power Rangers.
Starring Gohan and Trunks. Who? Trunks is a teenager with attitude eventually.
He is.
And actually, Goten's a teenager with attitude eventually, so there we go.
I mean, going by what the Power Rangers bar was for being a teenager with attitude, Gohan is also a teenager with attitude.
Yeah, Billy didn't have much attitude.
None of the Power Rangers had attitude.
No.
Like, Tommy Oliver had the most attitude.
I would hire every single Power Ranger to babysit a small child.
Yes, 100%. 100%. Every single one would trust all of them to, like, you know, take care of my cat.
And you can have attitude and take care of my cat, but at least I would give it a second's pause.
Yeah.
But no.
None of the Power Rangers actually had attitude.
And I think that means that we're all out of things to talk about for this movie.
Yeah, do you have any other questions about this?
Oh, none that you have answers to.
I was disappointed that Broly's Second Coming had a bit about how there was, you know, a volcano god. And then the volcano god wasn't Broly.
Yeah. I was really waiting for them to cue us up that, like, Broly was just wreaking havoc. I mean, it wouldn't make sense because he has been doing it for years, but the fact that it was just a dinosaur was really disappointing.
Yeah, because I had a note here that unfortunately is not how it actually works, but I had a question written that was, did Broly eat the children? But no, they weren't feeding them to Broly, they were feeding them to a dinosaur, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
No, I mean, like, all my questions are, like, is Goten colorblind because he can't tell the difference between an orange Dragon Ball and a lot of white balls, and that's the only way that makes sense? Why was Krillin cosplaying as Piccolo?
Yeah, I really want to know the answer to that one.
Is Hatred of Kakarot genetically implanted? How did the shaman get here? How did he find out about Jaguar? Why did he scrape some cells? Where did he, like, how did he know to scrape cells? Why did he know to scrape them from the escape pod? And how does Jaguar know about legendary super science?
Yep, none of those have good answers.
Nope, none of them do. These are pointless questions.
Pointless questions. Pointless answers to pointless questions. So, thank you all for listening. It has been great.
You know where
to find us. It's been something. You know where to find us. Our Facebook is Gilmore Ball Z. Our Twitter is at Gilmore Ball Z. Our email is GilmoreBallZ@gmail.com. And our website is Gilmore-Ball-Z.Pinecast.co. Please, please, please send us your emails, send us your DMs, send us your messages, reach out to us, any of those places, and ask us questions. Send us comments, tell us anything. If you want to hear your message read during our final episode, which is coming up soon, gonna be number 200, and we're gonna do a listener mailbag during that, just like we did during our 100th episode. So, like I said, ask us anything. It doesn't have to be related to the show. You can ask us what our favorite pizza topping is. Anything, go for it. We want to make it a great big celebration before we ride off into the sunset. Next week, we're going to be watching Dirty Dancing, which is a classic movie neither of us have seen, but it has Kelly Bishop, aka Emily Gilmore, in it. And my understanding is that you shouldn't put infants in corners. So we're going to find out a little more about that. And then we will, after that, be ready to roll into our final season, where we are going to be watching the 2010s Dragon Ball movies and Gilmore Girls: A Year in the Life. So our days are numbered at this point, but we're getting there.
Power Rangers would never put babies in corners.
The Power Rangers would never put babies in corners. So, with that, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next Saturday. And slides across the floor, right through the door, and all around the wall, a splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps